Oh my God! It's week.
We're back.
It's another show. It's another week. It is, of course, Saki Bamagogo. Big Show 1-0. Ten
now,
shows
now
in.
You can just turn it on and off. It's amazing.
Yes. After doing this for 100 years, I think I've gotten a little bit better at it.
100 dog years, anyway.
Yeah. You know, when did I start? 2006.
Yeah, it's almost 100 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah, I'm bad at math, apparently. This is Saki Bamagogo, a show dedicated to awesome garage punk.
Which has not been going since 2000.
No, it hasn't.
We're not that bad at
screaming
math.
Japanese girl punk bands, and sometimes ask for it. So, and of course,
love
my name is Mao, and with me as always,
throw me.
And with us, usually, Destructo the cat. He's sleeping quietly.
At least he picked a spot. You know?
Yeah, we'll let the giant
inside,
sleep,
outside, you know? Inside, outside.
Yeah, he was doing the thing where he had to come in and out of the studio here.
As cats are wont to do.
Man.
No more does a cat want to be in a room than when the door is shut and they can't be.
I remember back home, I used to live up in Pennsylvania, and we were in the woods. So our cats were indoor-outdoor cats. And I had this one cat. His name was Pudmow. He was this big black tuxedo cat. He was a big hulking thing. And he was like our buddy, you know. And there was a sliding glass door on one side of this A-frame house we lived in. And then there was another one, our main door where we go in and out. And during the wintertime, when it'd be cold and snowy, he would go and he'd nag to go out because they went outside to use the bathroom. Uh-huh. And he would nag, and my dad would get up and open the door, and he would go, ugh! And he wouldn't go. Then he would go to the sliding glass door.
Like, maybe it's going to be warmer on this side.
It's going to be warmer. Or the worst thing is he would go out and immediately be on the other door somehow. He had like a portal. And my dad would walk over, let him in, and he would run to the other door and go out again.
Now, this is weird because having known your dad, I could see one of two reactions, which is at some point your dad reaching for a gun, or the complete opposite, which is just kind of like...
Yeah,
and putting up with it.
Well, that's what we used to say.
Which was it?
It was the putting up with it part.
Because, you know, it's because something tells me your dad probably has more patience for animals than he did for humans.
Yes, he did. But he also...
That's the funny part about it is like, I'm thinking, like, having known the man, I could see it going in two very different directions on certain things.
Yep. But we always used to laugh, though. He used to help him. He would take his foot, you know, the size 13, and he would just, like, shovel him.
Like,
yeah, and you're out now, because it would be, you know, it's just, they'd sit there and look at him, and he'd be like, blue flames! They used to say, like, those heat guns, and they used to call, like, the air that escaped, they used to call them blue flames. So if he'd open up the door, and the guy would just sit there looking, he'd be like, blue flames! He would just, like, not kick him, and shovel him out the door. Yeah. It was always fun.
Like, you wanted to go, you're going. I got up.
You've made the decision. Live with it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, here's some music.
Hey there, Derek. My name is Lil Cletus. I'm just a regular kid who wants you to know the real truth about child labor laws, okay?
Okay.
They're silly and outdated. In the good old days, kids as young as 5 could work as they pleased, from textile factories to iron smelts. Yippee, hooray! But today, the age-old right of children to work is under attack. From the Philippines to Bangladesh, and China and India, and South America too. Boo-hoo! But you can help these children, Derek, by killing the Prime Minister of Malaysia. He is bad!
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
It's happening. It's wild. And it's now. It's the Fonda Festival of Motion Picture Entertainment. Three big hits starring that easy rider, Peter Fonda, in three completely different roles. In The Wild Angels, Peter tangles with the real McCoy, the Hells Angels of Venice, California. In Spirits of the Dead, he joins with Brigitte Bardot, Alain Delon, and Terrence Stamp in recreating one of Edgar Allan Poe's most terrifying tales. In The Trip, Peter teams with Dennis Hopper and Susan Strasberg for a dramatic journey into the weird world of the psychedelic. It's a complete Fonda festival. The Trip, Spirits of the Dead, and the classic The Wild Angels, all in color. Don't miss the many moods of Peter Fonda in The Fonda Festival. Three memorable Peter Fonda hits on one program. Rated R.
What, you? I don't get this at all. I thought Lo Pan...
Shut up, Mr. Burton. You are not brought upon this world to get it.
All right. Of course, by that awesome vocalist, you know who that was. That was Lolita number 18, off of the Best of Lolita number 18 CD. I don't know any of the names. It's 13, 17, 20, and 21. Because I can't read Japanese even though I try.
I got all excited the other day because I found an old Petty Buka.
Nice.
And it turned out it was Christmas music.
Yeah, I have that one.
I was like, which isn't bad, except, you know, it's not Christmas.
Yeah, it's not Christmas.
I was like, oh, cool, I found it. And then like, oh.
Remind me, I have all their stuff ripped. I'll have to.
Yeah.
Oh, be careful. He's moved. He's kind of shifted.
Okay.
He's down by your foot. So, of course, Destructo the Cat. He's a regular on the show. You just don't ever hear him.
Yeah.
So
he's our silent.
Yeah. So Nintendo was doing some good push. They did, that Mario was. You talked about Mario Day.
Yeah, last week.
I've been getting a lot of emails from them. I gotta read them. They said something about gold coins now. You can buy.
Okay, yeah.
Download games.
They've
or something?
Got a program where, like, yeah, with certain games, you can basically like it's sort of like the old Club Nintendo.
Yeah.
Except instead of like, ooh, I've saved up enough to buy a Mario pencil. they give you like store credit for the digital download on certain games.
And can you do both? Like, can you buy
you
your
get a pencil and a game?
Yes. No. Like, can you get a pencil and a cassette tape? Because that you need them both if you want to use
that's true.
Now, like, if you say you have $3 worth, can you throw money for the rest of it? Like,
Okay, that's so exactly what it is. It's basically like a discount.
That's cool.
Which is smart on their part because the cool stuff was never in stock anyway.
No.
You know, it had the stuff everybody really wanted had crazy high values, but was always sold out anyway.
Yeah.
So you found yourself looking at the scraps before. And plus, they had to manage inventory and all that crap. This promotes people buying them from digital downloads, which they get a bigger percentage of the money from. It kind of cuts out companies like GameStop from doing reseller and.
Boy, I hate GameStop. I hate it the second I walk out of a store with something that's been opened by someone other than me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, man, I want to see the cellophane. I don't know why that matters to me. It does. Like when I.
Well, when it's
I
a brand
stuff,
new game, it should be. And you know, the thing is that we used to know once upon a time we knew someone that worked at GameStop and he used to bring games over. They actually got in trouble for that. Because employees were allowed to borrow games.
Nah.
I remember back in the day with the Wii, he'd come over with like three or four games. But then the problem was that those games were going back and then being sold as new. Because they were technically not sold games. They hadn't been sold yet.
That's cheap, you know?
Yeah.
Like I go to those used places like M&M down the street from you.
Mm-hmm.
I would go there 10 times before I go to a new place just because now I just end up getting the stuff at Target or Walmart. Or on online because it's just like, well, I'm not going to walk into that place and then have them hard sell me with all this crap I don't want.
Yeah, that's the other thing is you get up there and like, do you want the protection program on that disc?
Yeah, I want a protection program.
Are you a Power of Rewards member? Oh, well, you know, you could save 10%. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like $30-something and 10% is going to be $2 on what I'm buying today. So no, thank you.
Yeah, I just hate it.
And while you're here, do you want to get any pre-orders you're interested in? You got, yeah.
Need a book for that? Leave me alone. Please stop talking to me.
Like, I understand, you know, that this job means a lot more to you than working at Kmart or Walmart or wherever you're going to have to go to work if you lose this job. and I understand they're putting insane pressure on you because there's
there's
20 other guys your age that would kill for your job right now in this store, but can I just buy what I came in here to buy at 10% more than everybody else is charging?
That's
interesting.
Would you? Like, I thought about this, like, around Christmas time. Not this year, but, like, other years where I was like, man, I should get a job here just chilling out, you know, selling video games. And then I started listening. And I was in there, and you had to listen to everyone's opinion about a game. And you had to listen to gamers arguing. And I was like, you know what? That's like one of my rings of Dante's Hell. There's no way I could last 10 minutes in those places.
Well, you know, the thing is if you look, most of the people there working are not our age.
Yeah, exactly.
The manager might be.
Because they're like, well, you got to have someone that's old enough to yell at people while we're here, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Well, enough of the game talk. Here's some music.
What seems to be the problem? Death.
Well, my baby ain't no scream. Shake that scare when you break. One, two, shakes me, look me cool. She ain't mad but lost. I took my baby to the dance of mine. Where you go to the prayer side. She always said to little what is you. Where you are calling looking, looking fool. Yeah, looking fool, yeah, looking fool. She's a girl of a looking fool. Right here. Yeah, looking fool, looking fool. Let's go, let's go, go. That's my girl, well, that's give her tears. That's give her April, the honey to roll like to die. Yellow Jeep, looking through, well, let's go. Yellow Jeep, yellow Jeep, she's a gal of the looking through, let's do it. Right here. Yellow Jeep, looking through, let's go.
I'm a champion.
Darth Vader from Planet Vulcan. We all love that guy. Ah, that was, of course, the Stompin' Riff Raffs. I played Rockin' Fool, Rock and Roll Guitar, Wicked Girl, and Parabellum. So make sure you check them out. Hey, we have Facebook pages for all of our online concerns. Not all of them. I'm not really that concerned either. But anyway, I have pages for the Saki Bama Go-Go. You should click there and follow the page and shower us with adoration, because our fragile egos need that. And then also, there's one for the Indie Circuit, which is the show just before this one. So make sure you do. You'll feel good about yourself, and, you know, you'll help humanity be happier.
At least that's, two of us.
That's not true.
Two of us on this earth.
Yeah, I guess.
So, you know, this just dawned on me. Now, I know that, you know, Japan has a weird affection for U.S. pop culture.
Yeah, somewhat.
Somewhat. Yeah. You know, but I mean, like baseball and
the,
you know,
50s, Elvis,
and various things, and it seems like, and this could just be a microcosm, and it could just be my vantage point that leads me to believe this, but it seems like they have an unusually high appreciation for rockabilly and punk, like more than we actually do here.
Yeah,
possibly more than we ever did here.
That's what, well,
so but again, my lens for Japan is largely based on your view, right, of it, and people that, you know, I know through you. So it's possible that I'm only exposed to a certain subset of the culture that
oh yeah, you are,
that you know, like, you get over there and you, like, I'm picturing there being a record store on every other corner selling, you know,
no,
like, you're off of the countryside, the mountains, you're on your way to visit Mount Fiji, and there's a record store.
All 5, 6, 7, 8. No.
No. But, I know, yeah, they're not a huge deal over there, but, well, it seems like the, yeah, genre might be.
And that's I would say the rockabilly stuff and the punkabilly is like in America, where it's like this little subset.
Mm.
It's not more prevalent there than it is here.
Okay.
It's almost the same. They're the same. When you walk down the street and you see a bunch of dudes hanging out in America, and then you can tell that they're the rockabilly guys.
Uh-huh.
Same. It's okay. Exactly the same, except they're not leaning up against a big car. They're leaning up against a small car or whatever.
They're leaning up against a small, tiny, fuel-efficient car that might even have a solar panel on the roof.
No, they're leaning against a vending machine that has soda in it.
Yeah.
But
that's true, because if they leaned against the car, if too many of them leaned against the car, yeah.
But one thing that I was kind of, not shocked at, but really, really like loved, and to this day really have adoration for, is the female punk and garage and punk and like garage, I call it, you know, garage punk, like the Lulu's Marbles, like all these bands I play.
Well, 5, 6, 7, 8.
The 5, 6, 7, 8. They are so prevalent. And that's so awesome because that isn't here.
Yeah, basically there is no female punk or rockabilly here. I mean,
right, a couple.
Well, but they tend to be auxiliary. Yeah. If there's females into it, they're like the girlfriends of those, or they're one of the members of a band. They're not like a whole band generally.
And then,
why do you think that is? Do you think that's because they live in a more culturally
I'm
not going to say equal, because I don't necessarily think, you know, men and women are not equal in our society. I just think we're different.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
pluses
and minuses, but do you think they're more...
They're fighting the system. Women are subservient there. And that's...
Oh,
that's
so
how,
it's actually... I was going to say, or do you think they're kind of seen... They don't see sex as much, but...
No,
I see what you're saying. That is actually them speaking out.
Because that's where punk comes from. Poor people that are getting tired of getting kicked down by their supervisors about some crap.
So we should start a punk band, is what you're
saying.
Yeah,
we should. Anyway, the tired old guy.
Old guys rock!
No, we would sit on stools. Let me tell you about how
we're technically not old yet.
My back hurts. No, that's my theory on it. I might not be right, but my theory is because they are the kind of oppressed and supposed to be at home and supposed to be meek. So when you hear them sing, it's that guttural rage. It's some of that screaming and that stuff that kind of grabs you by your face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's... I love it. That's why
will we be listening to Grab You By Your Face tonight? If you know which one I'm talking about.
No, I think... Because I was going to play Lulu's Marvel. Well, they can too. Let's do that now. Because we all know where the fourth segment's going.
Yeah.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now I radio clearance, over.
That's Clarence, over.
Over.
Roger.
Huh?
毎日メトロノーム210派手なギターに引き締め朝が来るまで踊ろうかなりダークな出来事メトロノーム62耳を塞ぎ眠る夜早く夢でも作ろう
Two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
All right, that was Lulu's Marble from, I had it on record. You guys hadn't heard this since I started playing all this different stuff.
And Mal just confessed something off air that actually rocked me to my core regarding Lulu's Marble.
I know it was weird. So that was
I'm not sure he's even willing to admit it on air.
Oh, you can hold on. Let me finish. So that was off of Lulu Marble's Afro Girl. I played Afro Girl a Go Go. No, Afro Girl Go a Go. Girl, give me love. Hey Mother, and High and Low. Yeah, go ahead, tell him because I was
so Mal's commitment to 5, 6, 7, 8. Is stronger unrivaled. Than most people's commitments to their own marriage.
The unrivaled.
I mean, like honestly, you know, like you hear love for God and country.
Japan and 5, 6, 7.
I'm pretty sure Mao would take a bullet for any member of that band and be happy about it, you know?
Like, hey, you know, that's the way life is.
Yeah, but...
I gave a good life. Yeah. It was an honorable death.
Yeah. But he actually said something about... He said, I never thought I could love a band as much as 5, 6, 7, 8s until I heard Lulu's Marble.
Yeah, it's true. They were awesome. And I came home...
I know they don't listen to this show, but no, nobody if listens. They did...
Nobody.
Yeah, we got a following. That's possibly the highest love... Like, anybody that doesn't know you doesn't understand...
It's the highest compliment I can give.
Yeah, really. It kind of is.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go.
I mean, like... I think you would shove me in front of a bullet to save someone from the 5, 6, 7, 8. So,
well, that's if you have a choice, take a bullet or, you know.
I'm just saying, you know.
I'm joking.
You'd push me in front of a car to distract the shooter.
Yes, I could. Yeah,
of a 5, 6, 7, 8 member, and you actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have an army of one. That's me. I mean, I'm like,
that's
I'm
all
like,
they need. They don't know it, but the avenging kaiju, right? Kaijin. Is kaiju the giant? What do they call the giant monsters?
Yeah, kaiju.
Okay, so yeah, kaijin.
And I'm gaijin.
Gaijin. Yeah, gaijin.
That's foreigner.
Okay,
that's
gaijin. Yeah, the avenging kaijin. Yeah. Gaijin. Sorry. I won't call you kaiju anymore. Sorry.
I wish I was a kaiju just walk around kicking buildings over. That'd cause some ruckus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're used to that over there.
Yeah, we have a couple.
They get attacked by monsters all the time.
So funny story, not related to anything Japanese or anything or Korean. We did a show together about Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets.
Slow Robot. Yeah.
I do a Slow Robot show. It's a B movie review, and every now and then Promis has time, and we just go over something else. So there's this new one that he watched and warned me not to watch, but then Netflix said, you really should. And I would...
We paid a lot of money to be able to have this one.
And in the morning, Netflix came in with my coffee. Here's your coffee. Wake up. You should watch Valerian. And then I'd be like on the bathroom. I'd go away, Netflix. And then And I'd walk out, and it would stick its little cord out and trip me and be like, hey, look, Valerian's on. You should watch that while you're nursing your wound. So eventually I caved to the pressure. And I was like, ugh, this is a slog, you know. I didn't like it. And so we got together and talked about it. All was good. I uploaded the show. I wake up. That was on a Sunday. I wake up on Monday morning, and I look at Facebook while I'm having coffee, and I see a longtime friend of the show. I'll just call him Roddy Friper, and says not to me, but in a open thing. Just saw Valerian with my wife. We loved it. And then that's when King Don chimed in and said, I knew you'd love it. That's why we're best friends. And I went, oh, curse word. Because they both listen to the show. And on one hand, I didn't want to alienate or have Roddy Friper feel bad about, not agree and then, cause a rift, you know. Because he's, a friendly guy. He's listened to all our shows for a long time, so you kind of know him. And then there's Don, King Don, who...
Well, he's King Don.
Well, he's King Don, and yeah, he reigns down from on high, and if he'll tell you why you're wrong, you know. And often on that show, I'm just talking, we're just giving opinions, and that's all there are opinions. But I knew. I was like, oh, curse word. Now what I'm going to do. So I actually reached out to Roddy Friper and kind of said, hey... Look, man, I know you guys like that movie. Me and Promy kind of...
You're wrong.
I said, me and Promy are kind of trashed it. And I don't want to have any ill feelings towards about it. You know, I said, in fact, if you want to write an email, and I'll have the first...
We'll read a letter on the show.
Not rebuttal, but I said, tell us why we're wrong. And he was joking. He took it. He was a very funny guy. And I, you know, because I don't know him as a person. I just know him through our interactions. So I was like, oh, and he was like, nah, don't worry about it. You know, and you're wrong, but don't worry about it. Like, kind of joking.
Yeah.
But, you know, King Don was obviously telling us our opinions are wrong and we should go kill ourselves for not loving this movie.
Well, I didn't read that much into his message. But
so it was just one of those things where immediately I felt regret. Because I felt good about the show. It was a good show. We had a lot of fun. We, you know, uploaded. And the second I woke up, I was like, ah, just that thing in your stomach that was like, this is going to be problems. And well, I know.
You know, I reflected when I gave my review, and that was the first time I've actually given a review, and I gave it a 1 out of 10. That was probably harsh. That was probably a little overly harsh. And again, a lot of my opinion on that was based on the fact that it could have been such an awesome movie.
Yeah.
It had the elements. Yeah. They just did such a, in my opinion, horrible job putting them all together. Yeah. So I will admit, I went a little far in saying that not only should they pay me for the movie, but also compensate me for the time.
But hey, to be honest with you, I try to use that as a... I'm being serious about the reviews, but I try to use levity and joke.
Yeah.
If somebody gives a... I've given negatives already because I just... no one's turning to me for...
I gave it a 1. I probably should have thought about a solid 2.5, maybe 3. But in King Don's case, though, I think the problem there is that he's coming from the reference material and the love of...
So is Roddy Friper.
The love of the medium for it. So I think that does two things. I think that clouds his judgment a little bit, because it's sort of like, you know, seeing your own child at a recital.
With Ghost in the Shell.
They're amazing, and they're going to be amazing. Yeah. Well, I don't know how much you love Ghost...
The video games.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about that franchise, I would be like, nah, this game's okay. The game was terrible, but I would kind of give it a 7, where everyone else is like, that was like a 2.5 or 3, you know. Yeah.
But to some degree, because of your love of the source material, you're more...
Clouded.
You're more forgiving. And also, because of the source material, you may understand things that are happening on a deeper level, because the movie didn't need to explain this to you because you already knew it. So something that a first-time viewer might see as poor character building or cutting out parts of a plot or something, because you know what it's based on, you can, you already get the gist of it all.
Like how Batman, they know you know about how those pearls get ripped off when the parents get killed, so they don't bother showing you that.
Except for
every movie. Let's play some music.
That's right, except they do show it. Yeah.
I think I'm going to be stroking out on my deathbed. I'll be like the time my mom got murdered in that alleyway and the pearls ripped off. Oh, God, stupid Batman.
Please give me $1 million and the fridge with a padlock and, hell yeah, huge pectoral muscles.